The first week after I fully quit smoking, salty food was one of the first things that really started to come back to me. And I remember I had a saltine cracker and it was the craziest thing I had ever experienced in my life.
Hello and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the Idaho shops, stores, clubs, and pubs that you always pass by but never seem to visit. I'm Joel Wayne and this is my co-host, Lacey L.D. Daly.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. It's season two?
It is season two. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can believe it too.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Wait, if you're first joining us, if this happens to be the first time you're stumbling upon this podcast, this is the second season of You Know the Place, and there is a first season.
10 episodes.
You missed some gems.
Yeah, there's some great stuff in the mix there.
Yeah.
So yeah, season two, I think one of the other things that we want to do too is we want to be more clear about where these businesses are in Idaho and not just assume that everybody thinks that they're in Boise.
Yes. The majority of them have been, but we are doing our best to feasibly travel outside of the city limits. But also, even if they are in Boise, letting you know where they are. And that way, maybe you can have one of those aha moments when you drive by and you're like, oh, I know that place.
Right. And we do want to get outside of Boise proper and do some more field trips. Not abroad. That's not the right word.
Over yonder.
Over yonder.
Seems
yes.
Appropriate.
Yeah. Idaho yonder. So, okay.
Thanks for joining us for another season. Cheers to a good ride. So this week.
Yeah, this week. Okay. Something a little bit different. I want to nominate all the vape shops on Overland in Boise.
Okay. All of them?
No,
that
well,
means there's
it,
a lot?
It doesn't, no, not necessarily all of them. But there are about four within a mile and a half stretch.
That's absurd.
Yeah, it seems like a lot. And I think that's part of what I want to get at the root of there, because it seems like you're passing by these all the time. And particularly if you don't go into them, if you don't frequent them, which I don't. I don't vape, and you don't either.
What do you know about me?
That's so true. You own a snake and a parrot now. So,
yes, yeah. And I soon will be vaping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go get my first, what do you call it, e-cig?
Well, that's another question, too, because I feel like there's different terminology that I don't know. Anyway, so I think we're going to try to hit about four of them. Should I name them off?
Yeah, which one specifically?
Vape Train, Boise Vapor Supply, Vape Lounge, and E-Cig City Vape and Brew.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's so many of these. It seems like you hardly even pass by four coffee shops or four mm-hmm. fast food restaurants in like a mile radius. So four vape shops?
Yeah.
I mean, are that many people vaping?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I'm so curious because this seems like such a snapshot in time. It was, I think, about 10 years ago that the cigarette and tobacco industry, they got really clamped down on in terms of they couldn't sell any sort of flavored cigarettes because that was being kind of shown as appealing to underage smokers. So they really, really clamped down on that. And that's one of the things about vaping, obviously, is that they come in all these different...
Oh, yeah, like bubblegum.
Yeah, watermelon.
Oh, my...
Champagne, I've heard of, too.
My younger brother vapes, and it's kind of the most obnoxious thing because he'll blow it out. And it's like, did I just open a piece of candy and you put it in my mouth? It's kind of the worst.
Popcorn, buttered popcorn. I went through, you know, did a little background research on it. There's no tobacco in any of these, but there is nicotine. And that's kind of the habit forming that side of it. And granted, they can't sell them to people under 18, but, you know, you couldn't sell cigarettes to people under 18 either.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they still,
yeah,
you know, ruled
on the
flavored cigarettes too.
Right.
So to me, it just seems like it's such a specific moment in time. And so I guess my central concern is this sustainable? And I guess I've thought that about other businesses too. You know, breweries pop up all the time and I always wonder, is that sustainable too? But I don't, you know, there's not the same types of regulations.
You want to know what else?
What's that?
Podcasts. There's so many podcasts.
That's true. But it's not as brick and mortar and, you know.
Who knows? I mean, maybe vaping is the new cigarette. You know, maybe cigarettes will eventually go away. The tobacco industry shifts its focus. And then everybody's got to get serious and probably buckle down on marketing and branding and all that. It can't just be all these Joe Schmo shops. Well, maybe it can be.
Yeah, maybe it can be, but I think you're right. And again, in doing some of that research, I was seeing how much big tobacco really has started investing in this. Because at first I assumed that they would be against this and trying to kind of run them out of town. Mm-hmm. But what I've read is that really they view it maybe as their pathway forward, kind of evolving and having a new group of, it's not smokers,
vapists.
That can't be right. We're going to have to nail that one down, yeah. Too. So nomenclature for the vapists.
I would rather not vape today.
We'll see.
Okay.
All right.
We just pulled up to vape shop number one.
This is E-Cig City Vape and Brew. And we totally drove right by it, which is kind of our MO. for everything on this podcast, even when we look it up.
I think that just speaks to how not prominent maybe their signage is.
No, it's from what we can see, it's a painted plywood board in front that's just propped up against the building in front of it, you know. And it's, you know, like a cinder block or cement building. It's attached to a barber and then a tattoo shop. So, yeah, to our credit, there's not much to make it stand out, which again goes, I guess, with those questions that you had about advertising. Do they have to advertise? Mm-hmm. Do they just rely on Google searches or people just driving by? I don't know.
I'm not going to pose all these questions just to this empty car. I did see a sign out front that said, fill your growler here. I didn't bring my growler,
but
I'm excited.
Yeah, exactly. And it feels like that goes hand in hand with that, like, well, man, aren't there so many places you can fill your growler now? You can fill them at Walmart.
Fred Meyer. Yeah. Okay, well, let's go find out.
Let's do it.
Vape shop number one.
All right. Good?
Yeah.
Hi. Good. What does it smell like in here?
It smells like... Man, I'm usually really good at this.
It's like a candy store, like, on the coast.
Oh,
you know,
that
like
is that, good.
Those, like saltwater taffy.
Yes. I just had some of that.
But I don't know what that, there's like a, but I think there's like an, oh, like, oh, there's also like hot chocolate. Do you get like a hazelnut?
Oh, I do. I get a little nutty. Yeah.
Yeah, a little nutty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty small. Pretty small space.
Yeah, it's very small.
Wait, where do I fill my growler?
These are great questions, LD.
No, seriously. There's not even a back room. And now look at this.
Different flavors, cookie butter, wildfire, Illuminati, I don't know what that means, and blue slushy.
Sugar cookie, blueberry cake, Caribbean punch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, you are combining candy and technology.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you marketing? I mean, it's very obvious.
It looks like if you've ever been to like World Market, Cost Plus World Market, you know, and there's that whole section of the sweets and candies from all over the world, you know, it looks like that because some of it has kind of a very like a very Asian feel, and then some of it looks very European then too. But you're right; it is a really interesting. Peachy punch, vanilla almond, kibbery killer. Very interesting, yeah.
We talk with Dennis, the store manager, after he finishes with the customer, and we quiz him a bit about his clientele and products. Also, there's a tiny desk in the corner with a desktop computer playing anime, which you can kind of hear in the background.
Your customers then, do they tend to be, or do you know, do they tend to be people who shop only here? Or do they frequent other vape shops?
Kind of both. Yeah. We do have some solid customers that come in and only buy stuff through us. Then we do have a lot of other people who jump from shop to shop and stuff like that as well. It just depends on what you have compared to other stores that brings other people in.
Can you buy some of this stuff online?
Most of the stuff, yes.
You can?
Yes. But then you also run into the risk of, you know, getting Chinese knockoffs. Even with the juices nowadays, there's a lot of people who make juice necessarily not in a facility that is replicable. And so they clone juices, they find juices, they figure out what's in them, clone them, and then sell them online as a real thing, but really it's not.
So what, I feel like I'm seeing vape shops... we're going down a couple on Overland, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a couple along Overland here.
Yeah. How do you stand out?
Mainly social media.
Okay.
We just kind of post on the pages for social media and stuff like that. Be like, hey guys, this is what we have. This is what's going on. You know, come in and see us if you'd like.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
So you're relying on the digital
social
side of
media,
things.
Social media, friends.
Okay.
Okay. Next, we asked Dennis to run down some of the terminology of vaping. He also shows us how you can mod out your vaping device, which is also known as a mod.
Mod is the actual
device.
Device.
So, okay. So it kind of goes in like steps.
Okay.
So a lot of them are, the e-cigarettes are considered the pen style vapes, the smaller style ones.
Okay, sure.
And then when you move up from that, you work from a modified pen, which is in this, which is considered a mod. These are also different types of mods.
Okay.
It has been modified from a pen. That's the easy way to say, you know, it's different than a pen style or a basic kit, it's a mod.
What do you get from, I mean, this looks pretty basic, but does this add something that looks like a...
You have a lot more customization, a lot more power. Longer battery life.
What does that even
life.
Mean? How do you customize? Like, what you
well,
customize...
Well, like, so, like, you see the screen right here?
Yeah.
You can customize things on the screen.
Oh, right.
And
so
change
like
it. And yeah, so like some of them are touchscreen, so you can touchscreen.
What?
Some of them, you know, just have a lot of power. Some of them you can customize the screen, the colors. Not this guy, but this guy right here has a light up areas in between the sections of the material, which is aluminum. But it lights up, so you can change the colors of it as it lights up whenever you push the button, or you can have it always on.
Heart rate, sleep patterns.
Yeah, you know.
Pretty.
It has an eye scanner, you know, it can tell who you are.
And then one of the other ones that we were asking too, smokers are smokers.
Mm-hmm.
Vapers?
Are vapers.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is it that your vapor?
Yeah.
Because it's weird too, because then you're creating vapor.
Yes. You're vaporizing liquid to inhale nicotine. Which is no different.
Vapors are vaporizing liquid to inhale nicotine. Okay.
Just vapor.
Yeah. Lastly, we asked Dennis about the typical person who walks through the shop door and about the future of vaping.
Most of our customers usually are between 20 and 30.
Okay.
But we do get, you know, some kids who just turned 18. First thing they want to do is buy a vape. And I'm just like, are you addicted to nicotine? They're like, no. I'm like, then don't do it.
Yeah. I was going to say, because it seems like you're combining kind of the pull of technology where you can customize these things with almost candy. It seems ripe for a younger audience, or that your audience would skew, or your customers.
See, so the FDA is actually coming down on a lot of these brands for the way that they are.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to keep our flavors, but the branding is going to get a lot duller, hopefully.
But along those same lines then, do you worry about the longevity of it, just in terms of regulations as an industry?
Regulations, a little bit, just because I do see the FDA trying to pull a fast one and just being like, nope.
Yeah.
You know, but like, this is also helps people get off of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having all these flavors do help people get off of cigarettes, because no one wants to sit there and taste cigarette. Like, a week after doing this, people don't like even the taste of their old cigarettes they used to smoke on. You know, it actually gets them away from them because they're like, oh, this tastes disgusting, you know?
And it seems like you're not necessarily wanting to put this on anybody who isn't already addicted to nicotine.
Yeah, no. Like, this is probably the worst habit I've ever had in my entire life. Not vaping, but just smoking in general. Like, I've tried to quit hundreds of times and have failed every single time. Like, this is the only thing that's actually gotten me off of the cigarette. But I'm still inhaling nicotine.
Right.
You know, it's a lot less harmful. I've been doing it 12 years. I felt a lot better after like 4 years of doing it. Like, I definitely felt a significant difference. Like, I actually started wanting to work out again, go on hikes, do hard labor versus just sitting on the couch watching TV and doing nothing.
That's cool.
We wrap up with Dennis and then head off to the next stop on our list, only to pull up in front of an empty building with a for lease sign.
Okay. We just backtracked a little bit because we really thought we were missing Vape Lounge, which is supposed to be vape store number 2.
And this would be the second one that we would have just driven by.
Right.
But, again to our credit,
it is now available for lease.
It is not open.
It
There's
is
no
not
sign.
Open.
Just
no.
A little low, slung, blue building.
That you can now lease for your business.
That you can now lease for your vape shop.
And interestingly enough, there's also, like no existing signage out by the street or on the building. And I think that just goes to say how temporary some of these things were.
Well, and like Google, it doesn't say it's closed for business. It still gives all the hours.
Mm-hmm.
I checked them last night just to make sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, strike that one.
Yeah.
I guess we'll keep heading down overland.
Away we go.
All right.
So this is Voicy Vapor Supply. We're still on the hunt for the vape train.
But I think they might be the same thing.
They might be.
Because there is an actual sign up there, a lit up sign that they invested in that says vape train. But outside, there's one of those, what do you call those kind of signs? The stand-up
sandwich
one.
Board signs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sandwich board that just in handwritten just vapor says supply. Boise Vapor Supply.
Man, it seems like you just retain the same branding, but that's very strange.
Yeah.
And I should also mention...
We say where we are.
In Boise?
Yeah, well, we're still on Overland, but we went a little further down. Down meaning south.
Yeah. We're across from the Presbyterian... yeah, right. We're across from the Presbyterian Church. We're next to... Is it a French eatery?
Worldly.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ask about this double branding, because the interesting part is on Google Maps, it shows up as two vape stores, like two different pin drops. But are they the same one? Is there a vape shop within a vape shop?
Yeah, and this is, you know, I thought it was a lot more because of everything you see on Google.
All right, let's go in.
Let's check it out. Hiya, hiya.
We walk into a long and narrow store, hazy with clouds of vapor. There are three guys sitting on couches and chairs against the wall, all with mods in hand, and the manager, Christian, is standing behind the counter. He chats with us a bit about the history of the store and his typical customer. And every now and then, if you listen closely, you can hear what sounds like someone breathing through a straw. That's the guys against the walls, vaping.
Okay, so first of all, I'm curious. Vape train, Boise Vapor Supply. Because I thought it was two different, when I was looking on Google Maps just to make sure that it was actually, that you guys were open, I thought it was two different stores.
Yeah. So we opened up shop about 2 years ago as Vape Train.
Okay.
And then there was another shop downtown called E-Cigs by Eswix. It was down off of, I believe, like the 9th Street.
Hmm. Is it still there?
It's not there anymore.
Okay.
So we actually partnered up with them and... merged, basically.
Ah, okay.
Now we're called Boise Vapor Supply.
Okay.
Okay.
Apparently Google didn't...
didn't get the memo.
Not so
much.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah,
now we're... your sign.
Though. Our sign did not either, but...
But come on, that's a good sign.
It is a good sign.
I know. That was what... I think that's what I'd seen going by before then, too. Mm. So, wait, how long have you been here then?
So we've been here for a little bit over 2 years now.
Okay.
And we've been a Boise Vapor Supply for about a year.
Okay. Typical customer. Is there a typical customer that you see?
I would say we kind of get an age group of like mid-20s and up.
Okay.
We get a lot of beginners here too.
Okay.
So a lot of people that are wanting to switch over or get into it.
Are most of them either current smokers or former smokers, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
How do you stand out? How do you stand out from the other ones along, especially in the same 10-block radius?
I would say definitely just we try to keep kind of like a vape community type thing. And so we just try to stay involved with that and just generate customers based off of recommendations and our knowledge on all the products and stuff.
A mashup of vape shops along Overland, because there's so many of them. So we're curious, I mean, how do you guys compete? How do you survive? What is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the best way to describe it is, like, I feel like it's safe to say that each of us have our favorite, like, places we like to eat.
Mm.
And then even if we're going to fast food, like, there's still, like, a specific location that I'd be more apt to go to versus a different one.
Whether it's...
Right, if it's McDonald's on Fairview or McDonald's on Overland, there might be service like, that you like better.
Or if it's close to where you work or close to where you
exactly.
live. Or yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly what you're saying, McDonald's. Like, I would rather go to this location over here maybe versus going to the other one, even if it's
right.
not a question of distance.
Right, it's like it's cleaner, it's faster, they're nicer,
yeah.
something like that. You just feel, I don't know, you fit in
okay.
more.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I like that.
But about the longevity of vaping, do you have concerns about that, especially with federal regulations going through?
I'm not super concerned with it. I mean, right now we, you know, follow the book as far as what our guidelines
sure.
are currently. And with the products and stuff, like I know they're doing some flavor bans in different states and stuff. that hasn't hit here yet. They did try to, they did have a court case recently about it, or like they, or they're talking about some kind of law regarding that, and it didn't go through. So we're, you know, as far as that goes, we're still fine here, but I don't foresee it disappearing completely or anything like
sure,
that.
Sure.
I just wonder. I know it's kind of like the, seems to be the candy cigarettes of our generation, where kids are, my friend's son has this like humidifier thing that he pretends is a vape, and I'm like, that's really dumb. He's 13. But I mean, you're not going to stop that. It's just generational, where kids are trying to act like adults before they're anywhere near it. Mm-hmm. But I just can see how the pull of, I mean, we learned a lot about the, what are these things called? Like the mods?
The mods.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, and they're super, they're almost like a phone in terms of the technology. You know, they have like touch screen and all that. So you combine technology with maybe, we saw Swedish fish flavor at the other one, and mm-hmm. obviously it's going to attract kids.
Yeah, the way I see that is, I mean, it makes it nice for adults just because it tastes a lot better than smoking a cigarette does.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's just, it's kind of like if you go into the liquor store and you want to go pick up some Skittles flavored vodka or some burnt marshmallow or something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
They have all of that there. You know, as far as that goes, I think it definitely comes. We do what we can to avoid it ending up in minors' hands as much as we're possibly able to. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the purchaser and their responsibility when they're purchasing it.
We round out our visit by quickly running down the flavors the guys currently have in their mods.
On that same one, quick survey, what is everybody's flavor today?
Strawberry Pocky.
Mine doesn't have one.
Oh, Pocky, like the, yes. The sticks? Mm-hmm.
They were literally designed to taste exactly like that, and they do.
I think I feel like I can smell that too, yeah. Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Wait, are you...
Mine does not have a flavor.
No flavor? It's just unflavored?
And it's pretty much just sugar.
Oh, okay.
It's like if you were to eat cotton candy, that's kind of what it tastes like. It's not, there's no real flavor to it. It's just colorful and sweet.
Ah. What about you?
Captain Crunch.
It's kind of peanut buttery.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for chatting.
Yeah,
with
thanks,
us.
Guys.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Me too.
Thank you.
So. Vape Train / Boise Vape Supply. Or Vapor Supply?
Vapor Supply, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, first impressions there?
Walking in, I mean, it was like walking into a haze of smoke.
Yes. My first question was, that I didn't want to ask, but can I get secondhand nicotine? Is it secondhand smoke?
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. And also just like, yeah, I shouldn't expect them not to do that. They're in a vape store where they're allowed to do that.
Right,
so
right.
So just fit in.
Well,
I was holding my breath for the first 5 minutes.
I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah, and I felt like your eyes were, like, getting redder or something, even though I don't think that was the case. It might have been just the light in there. But it was. It was just this haze of smoke. But it's so weird that it's this haze of smoke that all is like being next to a cotton candy machine or
right.
something.
Well, so it's not nearly as offensive to, you know, the senses. I don't know. And it was interesting, no music or anything?
No.
That TV wasn't on?
It was kind of eerily quiet.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
let's find another.
Yeah, I think we might go try to find one more.
Okay.
Okay,
so.
Pulled up to this will probably be our last one, I think.
Yeah, that's probably good.
There's
only so many vape shops a girl can handle in one day.
Yeah, and you're starting to look a little bleary-eyed. Getting that.
I gotta go back to work.
Cotton candy and Cap'n Crunch dust in your eyes.
Okay, so we are where?
Matrix Vapes, and this is off Overland. This is on Vista, but it's just a couple blocks off of Overland.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the ones that we've seen, it does look the most...
established? Permanent?
Yeah, I would say so. And the signage.
Yeah, big standalone sign out front by the street.
Right. It was the first one that we didn't pass,
yeah.
Actually.
One thing I want to make note consistently that I'm seeing here, because I might forget about it, is the security systems on these places. Do you see this? This is an outdoor one.
Oh, no, that
all,
you mentioned
it. The other
it.
Ones
yeah.
that we went to, they all had, I mean, it wasn't just like one security camera. It was like in each corner of the store.
Yeah.
Always under his eye. That's a handmade
like
thing.
Like a lot of... You wonder if it's like a, I mean, is it a heavy cash business? Do they get held up? Or,
no.
Or what, you know?
I was wondering if the first one even had a cash drawer because they just have the iPad as the computer. So
yeah.
I don't really have like a register.
So what, you know, what do you...
Or kids managing. And
Yeah.
You just got to always watch out.
Yeah.
Just keep your eye out. So let's head in. Yeah?
Check it out.
Okay.
We enter the shop, and it's very different from the other two we visited. It's much larger, set up more like a bar, with color-changing lights behind the shelves and under the counters. LD says it feels a lot like a nightclub. There's a lounge in the back corner, charging stations for your iPhone, TVs on the wall. It's also very clean and consistently busy. You can hear the door chime over and over throughout our visit, which is why we have to wander around for about 10 minutes before we can chat with the assistant manager, Micah.
So I guess, first of all, how long have you been here?
At this industry, in this company? I've been working here for a little under a year, but I've been in the vape industry for about 12.
Oh, holy cow, okay.
I didn't even realize it's been around for that long.
Yeah, so I was actually one of the very first employees of the very first vape shop of Idaho back in 2008, Vapeology. I was their 7th employee at the time. So yeah, it's been around for a really long time. Vaping has been a thing since the 70s.
How long have you been in this location? How long is this?
This location's been here for a little over 2 years, probably closer to 3 now. And I've been here a little less than a year.
And this is a chain or not?
Kind of. We have 2 locations. Uh-huh. So this is our second location. Our first location is actually over off of Eagle and Fairview, essentially. Yeah, and they've been there for 5 or 6 years, I want to say. When they started out.
Okay,
so we've been to a handful of vape shops today in the area. This one is by far the busiest.
Yes.
Why? What are you guys doing?
There's a lot of factors. Not to say anything about other vape shops, but honestly, I think it comes down to experience and just knowledge. So the store manager, Brent, and myself being the assistant manager, there's only a total of 3 individuals still actually in the actual head of the vape shops in the front of them that have been in the industry as long as we have. So because of that, we've got a lot of knowledge, a lot of random bits of information to help making vaping easier, more successful, and we're passionate about what we do. And the energy level here is just very upbeat.
But it seems so tied to brand to me. I can't get over that. You guys have branded so well. I mean, it's on your t-shirt, it's out by the street, which a lot of them. And I don't know if it's because it's just people cashing in on what might be a trend, but I mean, places don't even have signs, they just have like banners. You know what I mean?
It's like useless, temporary to me.
So unfortunately what it is everybody wants to own their own vape shop. And so the moment someone gets money to open their own vape shop, they do, and they don't take the right steps to make sure it's going to be successful. Yeah. And that's why Idaho has seen so many vape companies. I mean, we're the vape capital of America. There's more vape shops and vapers per capita than anywhere else in the country.
What?
Yeah, fun stuff. Yeah, we have potatoes, gems, and vapes.
Oh, I'll add that.
That's my joke. And so, yeah, because of that, I mean, people are always trying to start the new cool place to hang out in the vape industry. And because of that, there is just a flood of vape shops. And so unless you're already well established, most places just open up, have their doors open for 6 months to a year, and then end up shutting down.
Micah talks to us a bit about how they differentiate themselves from the other vape shops in town before we ask about his clientele.
Do you have a typical customer, or is it, I mean...
Oh, yeah, I have regulars that are here daily.
Yeah.
We get a lot of college kids that come in and hang out on their lunch. We get a lot of older people that just want to come in and have a nice conversation. And, you know, some of the conversations we have, you know, obviously we have our professional conversations, but then, you know, as people get to know us, we're more open and inclined and have a bit of, if you will, therapy sessions with a lot of people.
It's that bar aspect of it.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. You go to the bar and you're hanging out with your bartender, you're the only guy there having a drink, and you open up about your day to the bartender.
Sure.
It's very much the same thing here.
Do you find, or would you say, that the majority of them are current or former smokers?
Oh, yeah. Almost all of them were former smokers. I was a 2-pack-a-day smoker for 10 years. I quit smoking 12 years ago. I started way too young. But no, it's an incredibly effective system to help people transfer their nicotine habit from smoking to vaping. And the biggest reasons for it, obviously, nicotine, but that hand-to-mouth motion is a really, really big factor. The visual sensation, having that cloud to see to simulate blowing stuff out, feeling it filling your lungs is a huge one. The actual sensation from the nicotine, not just the buzz from the nicotine, the actual physical feel. And then some people are so specific that it even comes down to flavor. That's why we have tobacco flavors, too. None of mine are.
What's your no flavor?
No, mine, my favorite flavor is, so I've moved a long way from tobaccos. When I started, I was vaping tobaccos. In this one, this is my high nicotine. This is what I use for my habit, if you will. This is a strawberry orange mango peach smoothie.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Jamba Juice.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of what it was aimed towards. And then this one, it is my personal favorite. It's a strawberry jam on a lightly buttered toast. Give it a smell.
We obviously have to give that a sniff before we wrap up with our final questions about the future of vaping.
Do you have concerns about the longevity of vaping as an industry with regulations going through?
It's definitely always a concern, because the biggest thing right now that's kind of going on is the ban on flavors.
Yeah.
You know, New York, and I think it was Florida. I know there's two states that officially has done a full ban on all flavors.
Whoa. All flavors?
All flavors, except for tobacco.
I'm from New York, and my brother vapes.
Yeah, it's so frustrating, because the argument comes back to the same thing every single time. Skittles flavored alcohol,
right?
Skittles flavored vodka, and the most frustrating thing for me on that is you can take your kid into a liquor store, you can't take your kid into a vape shop.
Oh really?
Yeah. No. If you are not 18, you're not allowed through my door. If you don't have your ID on you, whether you're 18 or 30, you're not allowed through my door.
And not even if your mom's trying to refill her vape.
No. Oh. And if a mom comes in and she's got a kid in her car who looks like they're a teenager, and I see them hit a vape, I decline that sale.
Mm. One last question.
Yeah.
If a kid comes in here, it's their 18th birthday, they've never touched a cigarette in their lives, and they're interested in starting vaping, what do you say to them?
Why? And if they're adamant about vaping, and they are set on their ways, they want to spend their money on vape, I go, okay, well, I have zero nicotine flavors available in almost all of my juice. If you are not already an addict to nicotine, you're a fool to become one. Nicotine is the most addictive substance on the planet next to heroin. It's ridiculous to put yourself through that. I mean, if I could cut my addiction out, I would.
Do you feel maybe not better, but...
Oh, I definitely feel better.
Like better than like when you were smoking, like cardiovascularly,
yep, 100%.
Energy, all that?
Beyond 100%. I can taste better, I can breathe better, I can smell better. I'd say my wallet's heavier is a big thing. It's much cheaper. But honestly, I'd say that the biggest thing for me, obviously, besides being able to breathe, that's the greatest, is being able to taste. Smoking a cigarette, it numbs your taste buds. I remember the first week after I fully quit smoking, salty food was one of the first things that really started to come back to me. And I remember I had a saltine cracker, and it was the craziest thing I had ever experienced in my life, because it was such a vibrant salt. I don't know if that's a good way to explain salt. You don't realize how much flavor of things you're missing out from smoking until you officially quit smoking completely.
Sure.
So that was probably the biggest thing for me when I quit smoking, was that food and drinks just kind of came back a little bit more, being a bit brighter.
Yeah.
We finished chatting with Micah, leave the shop, and recap in the car.
I am really glad that we popped into this one.
Yeah, me too.
By chance. I think it gave us a whole different view.
Yeah, I think it did. I think, too, we got three really, really distinct experiences.
Yeah.
Well, four, I guess, if you include, you know, going to a place that's already closed, and that's a distinct experience of its own.
Well, yeah, it's just like, I guess, to each their own. But I'm glad that we got to end on another note.
Yeah.
I do not think my hair still smells like freaking strawberry, peach, mango, banana smoothie, crock pot stuff.
Crock pot?
Thank Crunch. Goodness, Captain Crunch, Pocky sticks.
Yeah, that's probably what, maybe because I don't have a sweet tooth, one of the reasons that it does not appeal to me.
Okay, let's head back.
All right.
Okay.
We are back, Jack.
From our tour of the vape shops of Overland.
Yeah.
Asterisk and kind of one on Vista.
Right.
But that had to happen.
It did, and I'm glad we did, because it was a very, very different experience.
Totes.
Yeah. So, initial impressions?
Well, I'm starting to think you're a genius.
I mean, I'll take it, but I do want some explanation.
Well, because I think that it was really crucial that we go to more than one vape shop, because if we just went to one, I don't think that we would have gotten the whole picture of what is like the vaping landscape. And now I'm starting to question everything we've done up until now and thinking we need to go to like all the reptile stores and all the float centers. No, I'm just kidding. But I really do think that was key. And I think that you are very bright for thinking we should go to all of them.
Well, thank you. I do think it played out well. I mean, it could have just as easily gone the other way, though, where there really wasn't much of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're sitting here struggling to kind of connect the dots between
That's
them.
That's true. So a little bit fate played.
Yeah, okay. Very much so.
Yeah. What about your initial?
First one I thought of, people vape in vape shops.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why that should be surprising, because it's not smoking. They vape in vape shops.
One thing that stood out to me, and I think it was Christian who said it, Christian who is at Boise Vapor Supply, because I found myself thinking when we're going into here, like, how can all of these stores exist so close together when they're selling pretty much the same product? And he likened it kind of to like having a favorite fast food restaurant or something and frequenting that one, even if it's not the one that's right around the corner from your house. Right. Like maybe because the one that's, you know, 10 minutes away is cleaner, faster, nicer, or I feel more comfortable there, I'm going to go out of my way to go to that one.
That really plays into, I guess, kind of answering my central concern about the differentiation. And it does seem to be due more to kind of the social / experiential aspect of it rather than marketing. It doesn't look like marketing really moves the needle very much. And I think you're right. It's just about the place that they feel comfortable.
Yeah, I was struck by something. Gosh, who said it? Now I can't remember. But somebody said something about the vape community. Mm. And when listening back to the audio, I was like, the vape community? Like, I know about like the acro yoga community, but the vape community? Come on, is that really a thing? And I'm like, okay, what constitutes, quote unquote, a community? I mean, it's a group of like-minded people who have, you know, similar interests
shared
or hobbies
interest,
or something like that. But also that perhaps vapers feel a little marginalized because you can't vape just anywhere these days. And they're coming down on that harder and harder in terms of where you can and where you can't. And so vape shops are like safe spaces for vapers to come and hang out. And I think each place that we went to did that similarly and differently or to different extents. So I think the vape community is a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know about the longevity, but
that was really kind of the other half of kind of the central concern was the longevity of this as an industry. And I think, I don't know if all three of the managers that we talked to said this, but they all mentioned, it was almost like they were working off the same, you know, talking point sheet about the Skittle flavored vodka.
Oh, remember? I know.
That popped up.
Yeah.
And saying that they have that in liquor stores and nobody thinks twice about, you know, that's obviously, you know, geared towards kids. And I feel like that argument does hold up compared to liquor sales. Like, it's like, yeah, that makes a good point, but it doesn't hold up compared to cigarettes.
Right.
Where we are right now.
I know.
It holds up in one sinful area, but not in another.
Yeah. And it's
in
terms
of regulation.
It is. It's in this gray area.
It only occurred to me later that maybe we should have tried it. But nobody expects us to, like, try vaping.
I thought that, too. But I was also like, yeah, if I want to try it, whose mod do I need to borrow?
Well, and that's a good point.
Can I get a Clorox wipe for that?
Yeah. So, A, since we don't smoke or vape, it's probably a good idea not to. And then, B, you're not just going to want to take a hit off of somebody else's, you know, cotton candy vape.
Exactly. Mod.
E-cig.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got. Are we done here? You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio. Our music is James Dean Kendall and the Eastern Oregon Playboys. Our website is youknowtheplacepodcast.com. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. Go check us out there. Thanks this week to Micah and Christian and Dennis, although we should mention we're trying to get a hold of Dennis to send a thank you card to E-Cig City Vape and Brew, but it's just been confirmed that shop is now closed. So Dennis, if you're out there, if you're listening, thank you. And thanks to the other guys for sharing your insights to the vaping industry with us, and no regrets for not sharing your mod.
Tenderoms reach out to me from across